Let's talk NBA basketball. Where do they go from here? This looks awful. This is Lee Hamilton, back with more phone calls in a couple of minutes on San Diego Sports Leader XX1090. Chris Sheridan, senior NBA writer, formerly with the Associated Press and ESPN, now with SheridanHoops.com. He joins us here. Nuclear winter. I mean, that's the phrase that the commissioner, David Stern, used in the aftermath of the Monday collapse of the negotiations with the union. Are we headed to a nuclear winter, the end of the entire schedule, Chris?
Well, Lee, it looks more that way than it has throughout this entire process. I would caution that the winds shift in this thing dramatically from day to day and from week to week, and I wouldn't count anything out. But today was a major step taken by the union by the filing this disclaimer notice. Billy Hunter no longer represents the players. So if David Stern wanted to call Billy Hunter and say, hey, Billy, wait a minute, let's get together and talk one more time, he'd be calling the wrong guy because Billy's not in charge anymore. The guy in charge is Jeffrey Kessler, who represented the NFL players during their antitrust suit against the NFL. And then the other lawyer is David Boies, who ironically represented the NFL owners during that same litigation. So Kessler and Boies, who went against each other in the NFL case, are now teaming up on the NBA players' side. And I think, Lee, now it's a question of which courtroom does this go to? How quickly does it go to court? Because remember, the NBA already has a lawsuit pending against the NBPA. Where does the NLRB weigh in? Because both sides have filed NLRB complaints. But a quick and easy solution that probably should have, or definitely should have been in reach, and was in reach, but wasn't reached, is out of the question now. And I'd say now that it's looking more than ever like there might be an entire lost NBA season, which is just nuts.
Yeah. Chris, let me ask you, in the overview big picture, the bottom line I've been told is David Stern and the owners want the players to go from 57% cut of the pie to maybe a 50-50 share, but they also want givebacks in as much as 8 to 17 other categories. You might call them systems situations as it relates to free agency, guarantees, contract extensions, sign-in trades, etc. That's a hell of a lot to demand back, is it not?
Well, yeah, and your number's low, Lee. 8 to 17 is not the number. They wanted changes in about 40 or 50 items in the negotiation, and the players wanted to hang on to as much of the money as they could. Remember, they've been getting 57% of the money since 1995. And they gradually went down. They went to 53, they went to 52.5, 52, and finally they went to 50 last week. And once they went to 50, they wanted to see the owners give back on some of the salary cap system issues that they had. And the sides met for 2 days, and the owners only gave a little bit. They threw them a couple crumbs, but not enough crumbs. And it had the effect of kind of galvanizing the players, because all through the summer, Lee, the players gave back money, and they ended up, putting forth this deal today to the executive council that included a $3 billion give back over 10 years. That's an awful lot of money. And basically, the union got beat up bad in this negotiation, and the players and their agents are very upset about it. And there's been a growing movement that, you know what, Billy Hunter messed up this negotiation. We got to reset this thing way back to page one and start over with new leadership. And the first step in that process is what happened today in Times Square.
Chris Sheridan with us, covers the NBA, SheridanHoops.com on XX1090. Chris, I, you and I have chatted in the past. I think the dream team concept with the mega salaries and players winding up on maybe 1 through 5 great franchises and the rest of the league not counting for anything, I don't think that's good for the overall health of basketball. Is that one of the problems what the league has evolved into?
Well, that's one of the problems that the owners were basing their negotiating platform on. They said they even though they came to an agreement on the money, that they were so dead set on having certain systems changes, because the system changes the owners want, they felt, would make the league more competitive. They're in a situation where the last 5 champions were luxury tax-paying teams, and they wanted to kind of even the playing field for some of the small market teams so that the league didn't evolve into something where the Lakers could bring in 100 times more money than the Milwaukee Bucks could on local TV, and then thus be a luxury tax payer in perpetuity without having to pay a stiff penalty for it. And these are that was one of the system things they got caught up on was they're going to have a new punitive luxury tax, but how punitive is it going to be? And they ended up quibbling over the smallest of details, Lee. This deal was 99% done, but once the players got in the room and once the players heard after last Thursday night's talks broke that the owners really hadn't moved much on their offer, it kind of galvanized a bunch of competitive guys. I think that's the best way to put it. These guys made it to the NBA because they're competitive, and they don't like being beat by a big margin, and if they're getting beat by a big margin, they don't want the opponent to rub it in. And there are limits to how far the owners should have gone in this negotiation. And they pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and they got and they got and they got and they got. But at a certain point, Billy Hunter gave too much up and pretty much lost the support, first of the agents, but then gradually probably a majority of the players as well. So that's how it got to where we are today.
Chris Sheridan with us covering the NBA. Strife is a nuclear winter upon us. He's with us here at XX1090. Did Jeffrey Kessler hijack these negotiations like he did the NFL for a while? Did Arn Telemann, all these superb agents, carry the day with a lot of clout, you know, with the letter that, do you know what the hell you're going to approve? Have you paid any attention? I mean, have they taken over control of this?
To a certain degree, yes, they have, because like I said before, Jeffrey Kessler is now running the union along with David Boies. Those are the two lawyers that David Stern and Adam Silver have to talk to now if they want to reopen negotiations. So is hijack the right word? You know, I don't know, because that says to me that, you know, Jeffrey Kessler had some sort of ulterior motive here other than getting a deal done for the players. And I think, you know, Jeffrey was in the room when the players were making all these concessions, so it's a little disingenuous for him to say, you know, we never wanted to make any of these concessions because he was in there. So, but in terms of, you know, is he flying the plane now? Yeah, Jeffrey Kessler is flying the plane, and David Stern and Adam Silver don't like Jeffrey Kessler very much. And that, you know, they did get along with Billy Hunter a lot better. So that adds an entirely new human dynamic to this thing. And certainly I don't think that augurs well for a quick or peaceful settlement. Having said that, like I said, the wind shifts in this thing all the time. And lawsuits can be dropped, and the NLRB could step in any day. You just really never know which way this thing is going to turn. And if you go back from the 1995 baseball strike, that's a year we lost the World Series, and the owners started the next spring training with replacement players until finally the NLRB got Judge Sonia Sotomayor, who's now on the Supreme Court, to declare the lockout illegal, declare that what the owners were doing was illegal, what the baseball owners were doing. And she ended that work dispute and set the major leaguers back to work. And the Major League Baseball Players Union has been very, very strong in the 16 years since. So I think a lot of the agents around the NBA saw this as a moment where Billy Hunter had really lost control of the negotiations and was giving away the store. And they had a plan in place that they had been working on over the last month or so, that if this thing came to a head, there's going to be a fallback. And that fallback might be a long and contentious battle, and it might cost the NBA a season, maybe two. But at the end of the day, they're confident that they're on solid legal ground. And if you sue under antitrust litigation or laws and you win, you get triple the money. So right now the players are losing $2 billion in salaries. If someday they were to win this in court and get triple damages, they get $6 billion back. And that's sort of why it's a strong threat for the players to go this route, because if it doesn't work out well for the owners, the damages are considerable.
I appreciate the time. I know you're on deadline. There's a ton of things going on simultaneously. Chris, we'll talk to you again. Thanks for joining the NBA fans out here on the West Coast.
Thanks for having me on, Lee, and thank you for the plug.
Chris Sheridan, Hoops.com. You can check him out. This is Lee Hamilton, back with more in a minute, up and down the West Coast at XX1090.